Hey gang, welcome back to Future Proof. This is episode number 185. To be exact, Bill Sheridan here. Couldn't be happier to be with you here today. And today here here is actually my home in St. Louis. But for most of the week this week, I was in Annapolis, Maryland, historic capital of that historic state. I was staying at the Governor Calvert House, just a stone's throw from the Maryland State House, which is the oldest state capital in continuous legislative use in the country, dating all the way back to 1772. It's a long time in American time, anyway. it's where the American Revolutionary War ended, folks, with the ratification of the Treaty of Paris on January 14th, 1784, currently home to Maryland's General Assembly and my home for a few January days there. And for a history buff like me, man, it was paradise, really. And what better place to be having this conversation? See, I wanted to spend some time talking with you about the importance of legislative advocacy. And if you're looking for an example of the importance of that type of advocacy in action, no better place to be than Annapolis this past week. I'm telling you, this is, we're talking about the week of January 16th, 2023. What's going on this week? Just a few things, right? The inauguration of the first woman to serve as Maryland's comptroller, the inauguration of the state's first Black governor, and CPA Day, which is the Maryland Association of CPAs annual day of legislative advocacy, getting our members out to speak directly with their elected officials about issues that impact the profession. Huge changes here in Annapolis legislatively, okay? We got a new governor, new comptroller, as I mentioned, a lot of new leadership on key legislative committees. We've even got our first members of Generation Z to join the General Assembly this year. Pretty cool stuff there. And all of that change means that it's more important really than ever that CPAs get involved in the legislative process. New folks in these positions of legislative power need to be educated on the issues and how those issues impact taxpayers and businesses. And if they're not, well, we'll see what we've always seen, which are the unintended consequences of well-intentioned legislation. And that can be dangerous stuff. And our elected officials often, they want and need educated professionals like CPAs to walk them through the issues and the process. And it can make all the difference, folks. It really can. I've seen it happen. Well-meaning folks in state government trying to raise revenue by to solve big problems through things like sales taxes on professional services like those provided by CPAs. And it sounds reasonable until you start looking at the bigger picture. And it takes folks like CPAs to really help our lawmakers see that bigger picture. So this is why, folks, you need to be paying attention to what's happening legislative on the local scene, wherever you might be. I mean, first of all, any legislation that means anything is happening on the state or local level. If you're not paying attention there, things are going to happen that you might not like. And if you don't like them, your clients are definitely not going to like them either. So this is your wake-up call to pay attention, to get involved, to start now. And that's why I am very happy to welcome my guest this week. She is Brooke Learman, the first woman to be elected as Maryland's comptroller. And comptroller, I mean, that's the state's CFO, really, the state's CPA, when you think about it, the handler of the money. That's our person right there. So in Maryland, that person is Brooke Learman, and Brooke's my guest this week. And we talked about her vision for Maryland, her relationship with the state's new governor and legislative leadership, and maybe most important, the role that CPAs can play in the future, the financial future of the state. You might hear a few references to the holidays. We actually recorded this conversation back in December in the middle of all that holiday craziness. So that's where that comes from. But just a really great conversation here. Really good stuff about a really, really important topic So I'm glad you're here with us this week. Here is my conversation with Maryland's newly elected comptroller, Brooke Learman. Comptroller Learman, thank you so much for joining me. This is a great privilege for me and an honor. And I know it's been kind of a busy month for you. How's the transition going?
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me. It has been a whirlwind. It has just been, just hit the ground running after Election Day, and did have a few days off with my family, which was very nice. But we are, right into the transition team now, and we have named the leadership team, and we are working to prepare for meetings to go over, the many aspects of the comptroller's office, which, as you and your listeners know, is really a vast office and tackles so many different areas of our state financial system. So I'm really excited. There's a lot to do.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of curious, why this role for you? What was it about the comptroller's office that kind of drew you in and piqued your curiosity?
Sure. Well, I think, from my time in the General Assembly, serving on the Appropriations Committee and serving as co-chair of the Oversight Committee on Pensions, really came to know and understand and appreciate just how uniquely situated the Maryland Comptroller's Office is to make a difference on economic matters, to build financially resilient communities, to make Maryland a great place to do business, in the country, and to just make government work better for people, to make sure that, when you're interacting with government, oftentimes it is through the Comptroller's Office, it's the MVA or the Comptroller, usually right. For most people, and to make it work well for people, because that in turn can help them to succeed and to become more financially resilient. And so just so excited about the fact that the comptroller's office really does touch such a huge percentage of Marylanders and Maryland businesses. And I want to be there to be an advocate for people. And so I think this is the place to do it.
That's fantastic. And you've probably run into some of this over the course of the campaign and certainly now as you're transitioning into the office. But what have you seen there in the comptroller's office in terms of, just things in general or revenue administration specifically that's, I guess, A, working well, and B, might need some improving?
Sure. So I've just started doing some work, introducing myself to some of the leadership in the department, having meetings to hear from people about just that, what's working and what's not. And, I think, our people are our strength in the comptroller's office, right? We have incredibly dedicated staff who are really mission driven, who are focused on making sure that we can get the job done for Marylanders, that we can collect revenue, but also make sure that we're working with families and businesses and taxpayers to ensure that things are going well for them and that the process is smooth. I think, one of the things that's really obvious to almost everybody is how outdated our technology is in Maryland. And so that just makes it so much more work for both customers, right? For constituents, for Marylanders, for Maryland businesses, but also creates so much more work for people in the comptroller's office, right? Updating forms and answering phone calls because it's not clear. We don't have a clear modern IT system set up for people to use, right? So it creates more work for everybody. And of course, I have started learning about the work that we're doing to create and implement a new IT system for Revenue Administration Compass. But we have some time to go. And so, there's still work to be done until that is rolled out. And we are, it's a slow and painstaking process, really, to get it done. But people are working diligently on it. So, I think I've loved meeting people. I'm meeting more people every day to hear about what they think, in the office, what they think we need to make sure that we can fulfill the mission of the comptroller's office.
That's great. that technology is that's a tough nut to crack. I know. I mean, your colleagues at the federal side and in the IRS are experiencing kind of the same issue. So doing God's work.
I mean, I like to think about it as, look, we may be the state with the oldest accounting system in the country right now, but once we update it, we'll have the newest one.
There you go. Exactly.
We're
right.
We're just a few years away from that, sadly. Exactly, and it's going to be a big process, but we have to do it. And I'm fully committed to making sure that it gets done.
Fantastic. What kind of future opportunities do you see? Things that maybe you'd like to implement or try new ideas?
One of the things I'm excited about, of course, is that we are finally creating an Office of Legal Division in the Comptroller's Office. And this is as a result of legislation that I brought last year that I passed to create this Office of Legal Division to finally do private letter rulings in the state of Maryland. You know, something that nearly every other state in the IRS offers, which is an important service to taxpayers, right? An incredibly important service to let people know how our tax laws affect them and how their fact situation applies to our tax laws. And so really excited to get that up and running to make sure that it's staffed properly so that we can do that work. I'm also really excited about rethinking what the website, to make the comptroller's website more user-friendly, to make sure that you can go onto the comptroller's website and really see all that you need to and understand not just what the comptroller does and covers, but have access to services so that you can find, as a Marylander, you can find, or a Maryland business owner, you can find what you need, right? Yeah. So really excited to dig into that. Thinking through a lot of other ideas about, and it's not just revenue administration, of course, the Board of Public Works, thinking about how we do sustainable investing and making sure that we're meeting our MBE goals on the pension side. It's making sure that we're fulfilling our duty to, think long-term for our pensioners and make sure we're taking climate risk into account so that we can ensure that we have, responsible investing by our state retirement and pension board. So there's so many things. There's the ombudsman's office. I'm excited to work to make sure that we can beef that up and have the office of the taxpayer advocate like the IRS has and many other states have. So, I think there's a lot of possibilities, but we have to start where we are, right? January 16th, I get sworn in. And so we start where we are and we have a great team and we continue building a good team so we can do a lot of this work for Marylanders.
That's great. I'm glad you mentioned the legal division. I had a quick question in relation to that as well, because that's something that we at the MACPA and CPAs in general have been eager to see put in place for a while now. What kind of changes can we expect to see for not only taxpayers, but tax professionals as well as a result of that legal division coming into play?
Yeah, well, my hope is that once it's fully up and running and fully staffed, it'll be a partner, right? There will be a partner in the comptroller's office who can work with MACPA, with tax attorneys to solve some of the, certainly some of the ongoing questions that exist so that your clients can, know what they owe, pay what they owe, get a solid answer, right? But to be a partner, right? To really work together to help solve, there are recurring questions that come up over and over again, and we need a definite answer on those questions so that, we don't have to keep asking over and over. You don't, have to keep researching over and over. So making sure that we understand what those questions are so that we can get them answered quickly, so we can publish those opinions so that they can stay, located in a place where people have access to them. So I think it's important to be a partner to MACPA and our tax attorneys through that Office of Legal Division and to make sure that, that we're staffing it in a way that with people who are excited to be partners and to work with you all on that work. Because I think, we are mission driven and making sure that we're sharing that mission and working together is important to the success of the agency and feeling to MACPA's success as well. Right. So it's important that we work together.
That's good. That's good to hear. Now you're now part of pretty much a completely overhauled Board of Public Works, right? We Maryland's highest administrative body. It's made up of the governor, the treasurer, comptroller, and you're all fairly new to your jobs now. I mean, what's that dynamic like? How does that feel coming into a situation like that?
I think it's really exciting. It's been a long time, and it's a really exciting prospect. I'm excited to serve with Treasurer Davis, who, of course, I served with in the General Assembly. You know, thrilled that I'll be sitting next to Governor Moore. So I think we are all excited to work together, and I think we all understand just how important the Board of Public Works is, not just to the future infrastructure of the state, but to the future economy of the state, right? That the Board of Public Works is not just about laying pavement, right? It's about building communities and about building community wealth, and building a more financially resilient economy in the state of Maryland. And so I'm really excited to be work with my BPW colleagues to make sure that we are examining those contracts, making sure that they do fulfill those missions, and that we're working then with our contractors going forward to make sure that there's accountability and transparency so that Maryland taxpayers, that we know that our money is being spent in a way that's building a stronger economy and also, building buildings and laying broadband and, working in our wetlands. So there's so much that we can do from the Board of Public Works. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. With that kind of vision in mind, that this idea of building communities and building wealth, what's your philosophy on evaluating spending decisions kind of at that level? What kind of criteria do you apply as you're considering things that you need to decide on?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think one of the challenges is that, I actually practice procurement law. So I have represented blind-owned small businesses all over the nation in procurement matters, federal and state. And, often what you see is rather than securing best value for our tax dollars, people go for lowest cost. Mm-hmm. And almost inevitably, what ends up happening when you buy the lowest cost is that, they put change order after change order after change order in. So it ends up not being the lowest cost at the very end. And you're not getting the value that you want, So to me, what we need to be looking for is best value. And that means, right, are we creating jobs in Maryland? Right? Are we creating wealth in Maryland? It means, are we working and meeting our MBE goals? Right? It means, are we building, is this a contract for a new public building that's going to be in a floodplain? I hope not, right? Let's think through how we're spending our dollars and where they're going so we don't have to retrofit everything in 10 years. So it's really thinking through some of those, what seemed like basic questions, but making sure that that rubric and that framework is applied to the contracts that come to the Board of Public Works. And it's my goal for, look, in an ideal world, every agency and every, group that comes to the Board of Public Works, they've got that and they get it and they're fully implementing that, right? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work like that, unfortunately. And so we are going to need to work, upstream a little to make sure that the agencies and that they understand that that's the mission as well. And we're going to have to identify where the barriers are, right, to implementing that vision. Are they statutory? Are they regulatory? Or is this just bad tradition that it's time to let go? And so we need to work with people to find, we need to have people in the comptroller's office, on the Board of Public Works, who can work to help pinpoint where some of those challenges and barriers are.
Right, right. So obviously, most of the folks who are listening to us speak today are CPAs or accounting and finance professionals, whether in Maryland or beyond. But I'm curious what you believe is the ideal relationship between the comptroller's office and the state's CPAs. What does that look like to you? What kind of help do you need from our profession?
Yep. I think there has to be a partnership. There has to be an open door, to really talk with MACPA tax attorneys about you know, what are the challenges their clients are seeing, you know, whether the clients, the challenges that they're seeing in the comptroller's office, and then for the comptroller to let, you know, to be open with our, with MACPA members and, you know, accountants and tax attorneys about some of the limitations that we have right now because of our outdated technology, right? Mm-hmm. And to talk about what are, to brainstorm and come up with what are workarounds until we do fully implement Compass, you know, making sure that we're keeping the CPAs and keeping the tax attorneys up to date on how things are going. But, you know, I think it's really having a give and take and talking openly and being trusted partners about how things are, how we can make sure that Marylanders are able to pay their taxes in the correct amount on time, and that they're able to get their refunds timely, right? I think there's also, you know, there will always be, will always be the job of the comptroller as well to go after fraudulent behavior. And, you know, I think it's not the accountants, right? Or the tax attorneys. Like if you hire an accountant or a tax attorney, I think it indicates that you're trying to do the right thing generally. Sure. And like pay the proper amount. But there is a group of companies and people out there who are looking for ways to not pay what they owe. And it is really essential that the comptroller have a strong fraud detection unit, right? And we do, and there's always more to do though. Modernizing, you know, thinking through what new technology exists to help find some of the unpaid taxes. You know, I think we saw a great amount of fraud throughout the pandemic in lots of different ways, not necessarily tax fraud, but, you know, other kinds of fraud. So I do think that there's a lot of work, and I hope that CPAs and tax attorneys, as they in their worlds and professions are seeing some of that type of behavior, will bring it to the attention of the comptroller's office. And certainly the comptroller's office needs to say, hey, heads up, like we are starting to see this type of fraudulent behavior, you know, please keep your eyes out for it to tax attorneys and CPAs. So you know, to me, that's sort of what a partnership looks like, and having regular and ongoing conversations is important.
That's fantastic. Beyond just our your relationship with the profession, in general, what is the future of, and I guess I'm not really sure what I'm asking here, of Maryland, but your role in Maryland, right? The future of revenue administration in Maryland, or where would you like to take this office going forward?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, if we're just focusing on revenue administration and taxing at taxes and authority, look, I think I want Maryland to be, you know, at the top of the country, right? I want people to get their refunds quickly, but more importantly, even I want people to be able to pay their taxes in a quick and easy and efficient way and claim all the tax credits that they're entitled to and know about them, right? We know too many people don't know that they should be claiming the earned income tax credit, right? We just passed a senior tax credit last year in the General Assembly. So many seniors are not going to know about that tax credit, right? Or how to claim it. So there needs to, you know, I want Maryland to be the place where, you know, people get their tax credits, they know about them. It's easy to pay your taxes. You get great customer service when you have questions. It's easy to start a small business in Maryland. The tax infrastructure in Maryland is easy, you know, for businesses is easy to deal with. So, you know, I just want government to work the best that it possibly can in Maryland for all taxpayers and for small businesses, you know, for businesses and families and, you know, nonprofits alike. And I think it's, you know, when they're, you know, nothing's ever going to be perfect. It's not perfect in business and it's not perfect in government. And so, you know, when there are challenges, I want people to, you know, think, yeah, when I call the comptroller's office, like they're able to help me, right? They know they can get things done. They can, you know, pinpoint problems and they can help, you know, close loopholes and get things done for people. So, you know, that's my, certainly my goal for revenue administration and for you know, all of the work that we're doing around taxes.
That's great. A lot of change coming up for you. Are you going to be? Are you going to have some downtime here in the over the holidays to kind of relax take things in before the tsunami hits?
Christmas. Yeah, maybe around Christmas, a couple of days. You know, take my kids, hang out with them. I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. And actually the 10-year-old's 9 right now. He turns 10 in a couple of weeks. So, quite 10. So it's a busy time. You know, I will say I have missed like every piano recital my son has ever had since they've only been while I've been on the campaign trail. So I'm going to my first piano recital of his in a couple of weeks. So, you know, trying to make sure that there's balance, right? So that it's sustainable, which is really important. And I think that's what, you know, everybody needs, but really excited to work with people around the state. You know, I loved running for comptroller. I loved running statewide. I love talking to people about what the comptroller's office does, empowering them with information and hearing from them about what works, what doesn't, you know, their ideas for how the comptroller could help. And I'm excited to keep doing that work because, you know, so much, I think it's just so important for our comptroller and for all of our public officials to make themselves available to the public, right? To people so that people understand what these government roles are and how they can work in their communities. So I'm excited to keep doing that while also, you know, working to make sure that we are thinking through how we can modernize the structure of the comptroller's office so that it's best serving the people of Maryland.
Fantastic. Well, Comptroller Learman, thank you so much for being here. Happy holidays, happy New Year.
Thank you.
And we're really excited to have you in this role and excited to work with you. So here's to get things ahead.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I just want to put in a plug for the transition team. If people have ideas, I hope that they will send those ideas. You can go to brooklearman.com and there's just a submit your ideas. We are taking all of those. We are reading them. We are giving them to the transition work group that their idea is focused on. They will be part of our final report. So I hope folks will go to brooklearman.com. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's invited to the swearing in as well. January 16th, 3 p.m. in Annapolis, and hope folks will join us. So thank you all. Thank you, Bill, for having me. Thanks for your work and for spreading the word. And I look forward to keeping in touch. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, happy holidays once again. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Terrific conversation there with Brooke Learman, Maryland's new comptroller. You can learn more by visiting marylandtaxes.gov. And also brooklearman.com. That's brooklearman.com. And if you want to find out more about how you can get involved in the legislative process, head on over to macpa.org, click on advocacy, tons of resources and information there. We need all the help we can get, folks. So thanks for listening in. And that's it. That's our show. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.